So Dave, tell us, how did you get into real estate? What appealed to you? How did you get into the game?
When I, after college, I thought I would like to be a real estate developer, and I went and interviewed with a developer, and they suggested that I was that it would be more beneficial for me to try to learn the business from the sales side for understanding the consumer. So maybe I should be a real estate broker first and then learn the business from that angle. So that's what I did. I found a broker looking for agents, and I became an agent and worked for them for a couple of years. And then one of the fellows who I was working with and I decided to open our own firm, and that's what we did. For 6 or 7 years, I was an independent broker. That was in 1972, from like 72 to 78. And then we saw this new concept of a national real estate brokerage company, the first one, I think it was Century 21. It looked very interesting, so we became a very early Century 21 franchisee. And after about 5 years of that, I wanted to expand the company in a certain direction, and my partner didn't want to do it, so we parted company, and I was self-employed. And the transition, it's in, I remember when I first got into the business, excuse me, everything was on paper. There
Right.
was, as a matter of fact, there was no MLS. So there was a question about whether this idea of cooperating between brokers really was a distant concept. Everybody was out for themselves. Everything was either an open listing or it was listed exclusively. And once the exclusive right to sell started to catch on, then brokers felt an obligation to share those listings with other brokers. But again, it was you would mail it out. You didn't have an MLS.
Right.
And then you had an early MLS, which was it just worked off pieces of paper. And then that evolved into a an MLS book, which was published, I think, every 2 weeks. A big thick book of all the listings in the area. And
Right.
the time you received it, all the information was out of date. But
Exactly.
at least you had a picture of the listing, you had a synopsis of the property underneath that, and that's where it started. And that evolved into what was the next step? Well, it took a number of years, but I would say after about 20 years, it evolved to the point where stuff started going online.
Right. There were time sharing systems, early MLSs.
Well,
You know, they were
MLS,
primarily data in a, you know, a really tiny little picture if you were lucky.
You could log on to MLS and get the information that way.
Right.
And that evolved quickly into, once that started, then the consumer could access the data online also. And that was a revolutionary step,
Yes.
because instead of saying to somebody, "Oh, you have to come into the office and I'll show you the pictures," you could say, "Okay, you log on and I'll log on and we'll have a conversation and we'll be talking about properties in real time. You and I will talk and we'll have pictures and I can tell you all about them." And it's just continued to be more and more available information to the consumer. So when I got into the business, the last thing you ever would do is give out the address of a property. That was just verboten. Oh, I can't do that. My seller wants privacy and so on and so forth. And as you well know, today, the address and all the information is pretty much available right online to anybody. And you don't need MLS anymore because everybody's sharing everything. So it's really an interesting, it's an interesting progression.
Exactly. I remember, our meeting point was that transition online in the late 90s when you know, the internet was really starting to take off. And, you know, I remember we did quite a few, you know, virtual tours, you know, essentially panoramic tours of homes and photo tours, and set up a whole network to do that. And along with a website and agent tools, you know, so it was in some ways a revolution, in some ways an evolution. But one of the things I wanted to talk about was how you evaluated vendors and people to work with over the years. Obviously, we were blessed to work together for a good amount of time. But what, you know, when you think about that both then and today, what makes it work, Dave? What have you learned? What would you do?
What
would
you well, what I was, you know, you had a lot of different pieces, a lot of different places that you needed to use the information. And so here we were, we could kind of host our own. I was working for, at that point, I think in 1999, I sold my brokerage company, and I sold it to a regional company. And part of the deal was I stay there for 2 years and kind of help them run it.
Right.
And so there we were, we've got a regional company. We have 1,000 agents. We have 22 or 23 offices, I think, and thousands of listings for sale, thousands.
Right.
And so the question at that point, and here we didn't have really, we were capable of hosting the images of the property. That we could do in-house. But it was clear to a lot of us that once you had all this information, and once it was accessible by people online, then the agents who basically you're working with, your agents, you had an opportunity to change the way they do business and integrate all these different components together. If you could achieve that, if you could help the agent input the listing, host the pictures, coordinate the advertising, create reports with everything that's being done. If you could pull all these pieces together, then you had an opportunity to differentiate your company from the others. You could do better marketing. You could share the information in-house and be more accurate. You could have your sellers access the information and see what you're doing, thus making the agent's job easier. So we could see the potential to do all these things. But then the question was, well, who's out there? Who's got it? Who's doing it well? And, you know, when you're early in the process, which when you and I got together and did some business, we were kind of early in this process of the integration of everything.
Yes.
You're trying to bet on the right horse, because it's not only what you're looking at now, but you're gambling the cost of implementing, of getting something up to speed is so great that you want to bet on the right horse. You want to say, well, where are we going to be in 2 years, 5 years, 8 years? Are they going to be current? Are they going to be able to be adaptable and continue to be competitive? And so you have to try to evaluate your vendor on all these fronts. When you really don't, when you have no real experience, it's the first time you've ever done this.
Right.
That's not my area of expertise, you know? So I remember going to Washington, D.C. I flew down and there was a trade show, and that's where I met you. I think you were there with a booth.
Yes.
You had a fair number of competitors, and I visited all the booths, right?
Yes. Yes, there were a lot of competitors.
Yes. Yes. And I visited all the booths, and your particular answer seemed to make a lot of sense. I liked the people. I got a sense of integrity. And we evaluated it in-house. We looked at some competitors, and yours seemed to be the best product. I can't recall the criteria that we used. We did develop a set of criteria. We say, well, do they have this? Photography, I remember, was a big component at that point.
Yes.
I don't think at that point there was that much digital photography.
No, we were very early in that game. And we our goal was to make it turnkey, you know, so essentially the agent, it just happened for the agent. So that worked really well for quite some time. But the thing that sticks in my mind from that whole implementation is I remember your pitch to the agents, because as we both know, there can be many technologies that are answers in search of a question, you know, and if you don't have agent buy-in or staff buy-in, or if it doesn't support the brand, you know, you're sort of just spending money. But I remember one of the things you said to the agents in those big meetings was, now imagine it's 5 o'clock on Friday and you have an offer or you have to do A, B, C, D, or E. Well, with the things we're doing now, you can do that at home. You don't have to go into the office, you know? So it was this whole thing about making their lives easier and therefore their customers. And I think, you know, that positioning, that drive, that vision was really essential to making it go. I mean, I've seen so many examples, you know, over the years of brokers and agents just buying things, but not adding context or saying, well, why the heck am I doing this? You know? And I think that's one of the reasons I wanted to have this chat, Dave.
Well, that's a very, very important, I think that's a crucial point. I mean, to me today, the brokerage business is working on such razor thin margins.
Yes.
That anytime you spend money on something, you need to be able to get a return. And if you spend money on things that don't give you a return, I don't think you can stay in business, because there's just no room for error, mm-hmm. right? And that's been the evolution. I mean, look at the commission splits. I remember when I got into the business, agents were getting 50% of the commission.
Right.
And today
right.
they're getting 80 and 90%. Mm-hmm. And so if you're out and you're going to buy a significant system like the one that you developed, and you don't have a plan to implement it, and you can't make it, a benefit to the agent, then you're probably, it's probably not going to work. So,
right.
So that just seems like, I mean, these systems are supposed to make you money. They're not supposed to cost you money.
Yes. So, I'm glad you segued into the business models, because it's been interesting, you know, as I look at the arc of our experience together and also with our company. And in the mid-90s, you know, based on the data I had then, brokerage firms were keeping, you know, 32, 35, 38. I knew some in the 40s, company dollar at the time. And the last time I looked at this last year in 2020, at least according to RealTrends, it was an average of 11 to 12 nationally. Obviously, there's variation, but, you know, so
11 to 12, including fees and everything.
Well, that's a whole another discussion, because, you know, again, in my observation in the mid-90s, the industry was broken into a third traditional, a third Remax, and a third everything else. And again, that's very general, but that was my observation. And today I sense it's the brokers that are around are, you know, fees by confusion, where you're, yeah, Dave, you're a super agent, you get 110%, but I'm going to have a tech fee, a marketing fee, you know, accounting.
Right.
You know,
so all these company things. Dollar, 12% or 15%, including all those fees.
That's what I understood. But again, you know, and obviously prices are up. So there's that too. So, but for most.
One of the things that's changed, of course, is the advertising. So the cost of adding a listing to your online marketing program is pretty low.
Right.
Whereas in the old days, you were running another ad in the newspaper or multiple ads and so forth. So that's one big driver, I think. And then if you're big enough, then you can amortize the, and I think that you have mostly large agents. Isn't the average office or company getting bigger?
There's definitely been consolidation of bricks and mortar for sure.
You get economies.
But, you know, you've got this whole, you've got, and I remember seeing this at a very large brokerage some years ago where, and this is probably 10 years ago, where it would be the, you know, the Dave and Jim team operating within whatever this brokerage is, you know, and yes. We'd have our own logo and, you know, the whole thing. And they may or may not, we may or may not mention the brokerage firm in any of our marketing. And I think that has been the biggest change, is the whole team thing, and, you know, really brokerage within a brokerage, where, you know, they're operating as a a sizable business, you know, within this much larger thing that has low margins. But
I listen, so, I've spoken to a couple of brokers recently who I'm still in touch with, and they say, well, you know, you don't make any money in brokerage. You make it in the ancillary services.
Right.
Make it in title and mortgage.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so given that, you know, given the shift, at least that I observe, from, you know, the broker business to really more agent or team centric, and then this ancillary services. So now we're 2021 and we have Compass going public, you know, in many ways, a traditional brokerage firm that just happens to have, you know, billions of capital that they're spending, and then Open Door and others who are, you know, in some ways doing, you know, payday loans for homeowners. You know, I talked to one of the co-founders of Open Door, and he told me that the typical fee was in the 8 to 10% range, and I was like, wow.
What is Open Door about? I don't know anything about it.
Well, they're offering the instant purchase, right? So they're one of the, they again have raised billions, and they just did a SPAC, so they're public. But yeah, you know, so they'll in certain markets they will say, here's the price we'll give you for your property, and then there's fees, of course. So it's an instant purchase. So
yeah. Buy houses.
Right, right. So I guess my question to you is, do you see another evolution of this? You know, will those things become more commonplace, and does that accelerate the demise of, you know, full service, high service, or what's your outlook on that, Dave?
I don't have an outlook, because I frankly, I'm not in the industry anymore, and I haven't really been paying attention to all these offshoots. So this is the first I even hear of Open Door. So I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But in general, I could say that I think there are parallels between real estate brokerage and stock brokerage. So yeah. If you look at what's happened in that industry, you can draw a lot of parallels to this industry. Because the information that about companies is theoretically in the public domain.
Right.
Anybody can go online and research any company.
Sure.
Or you don't have to. So this is sort of what's going on with information about real estate, right? In other words, you can research a property. You can get a huge amount of information without needing to go to a real estate agent.
Right.
You can glean that information. The listing is basically online now. And then you have all these other databases of other information that you can access about it. So if you look at what's happened in the world of finance, you know, and personal investing, let's say, you want to compare it to personal investing, you have an array of options as a consumer. You can go all the way from basically executing free trades. I think companies,
read
an article about the other day where they're going to let their customers buy and sell stocks for free.
Right, right.
You do your own research, all the way to managed accounts. Mm-hmm. That or accounts that charge you for trades.
Right.
So I just see it moving like that. And I think that I will tell you, as you well know, I'm in the construction business now. We did a deal recently. I'm building luxury homes in the $2 to $3 million range. And we had a customer come in, and these homes are listed with an agent. Customer came in and spoke to the agent, and she toured them an existing home that we built. And then they came back several months later to have us build a house for them. And when it came down to negotiating, they had only dealt with this agent, our agent. Mm-hmm. So then she said, okay, well, and of course this is part of state law, as you know. Would you like representation, or is it okay if I represent you both, the seller and
right.
the buyer? And
right.
And they said, well, you know, we're kind of in the business in another area. They're not brokers, but they have property. And they said, we'll represent ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they wanted half the commission back, and they got it.
Yep. Yep.
So there's an example of somebody that paid no commission and wanted no representation. And then you have another customer who we were working with, same exact situation, and they did want representation, and they left our agent and went to another agent. And of course, they didn't get the house, but that's not
besides. Oh yeah, that's a whole other topic. Yeah, I know.
They negotiated themselves out of the house.
Right, exactly.
But there's no one answer. But I, in answer to your question, I think that's what's going to happen. As more, we used to have this expression: "Hey, what business are we in? Are we in the information business, or are we in the people business?" Mm-hmm. And the fact is, right. We're in both.
Yep. We're in,
and some people care and some people don't. And the fact is that a lot of the information, a huge amount of the information, is available online now. And there are going to be a percentage of people who can feel like they can do it themselves, and they'd rather save the money. And then there are others who want the benefit of working with an agent. I think commissions will probably, there'll be pressure on commissions because of two things. First of all, the information is out there, and some people won't feel the need. So I think it'll evolve. I question also what's going to happen with companies like Zillow. If they go into brokerage, you and I had this discussion the other day where you take a company that basically says to their agent, look, come work for us, go sign up a listing, input the information into the computer, and we'll generate the whole marketing plan and everything for you.
Right.
Well, if the agent can do that, the consumer can do that.
Absolutely.
And if a company offers that to the consumer, they can do it at a huge discount. So there's going to be options. That's my guess. That's my answer. There will be options.
Yeah. Well, it's great to reflect on this and think about how it might play out, Dave. I really appreciate you taking
the
time.
Well, I have a question for you now. So where do
yes.
you see yourself in this?
What do I think?
Where do you see yourself in this mix?
I fully agree with you that it's going to shift more like the financial industry. I find it interesting when you trade, you know, as you say, there's the whole range of, you know, the annual fee for service all the way to go trade it yourself. And,
right.
You know, we've had Vanguard stuff for a while, and it's interesting because you can see a subtle shift there, you know, from, hey, call us up anytime to, you know what, when you call us, we're going to show you how to do this yourself. And that's happened the last year or two. And
I couldn't agree with you more.
And
very frustrating. But do you think that is a question of people just not being in the office and having to try to work from home?
Yeah, I think it's some of that.
Or do you think it's a shift in their business model?
I think it's some of both because they, you know, when I've done a few options things, you know, and you get to a certain desk with them, and then and they certainly seem to know what they're doing. But even there recently, they have, you know, let's just go do, you know, and of course you can't do it in their app. You have to do it in the browser anyway.
I agree. It's not good.
But that
rethink this.
Yeah. But so I guess what I'm getting at is I saw pieces of that with Redfin, you know, when they were sort of newer, and I haven't looked in a while, but they had a few things for the homeowners to do in their app. And I thought that was interesting. If you're going to do discount service or rebates or whatever they do, you know, ultimately like this, you're going to have to push some of the stuff out, right? So the seller will have to do it, or the buyer, you know, hey, here are the forms, go fill them out, you know, whatever. Or schedule the showings, or, you know, whatever these things are. I can see that happening too, just strictly based on the tools where, yeah, you know, if it's easy enough, they'll do it to save some money. So I think it'll be a mix of things. I suspect, like anything else, some people will want the full service, and a big chunk of the market will say, yeah, we'll, like your buyer example, we'll represent ourselves for better or worse.
Do you think you'll stay in the industry in some fashion?
Could be. I mean, I think there's opportunities, definitely. The big change, though, is I think it's more difficult to enter it in a meaningful way without a significant amount of money, because of the way Open Door and Zillow and some others have come to the game with a lot. In what we did in 1995, you know, it was so early.
I mean, yeah.
Man, you know, but, and you could sort of see that first round. I remember when you mentioned it, visiting the different vendors, you know, at the trade show, you know, there were some of those folks that had raised then a lot of money, $35 million, and they
wow.
went poof after 2 years, you know, it just, and today, you know, that's like nothing for some of these companies. But so I think that's one challenge. And then I think the second thing is, you know, how do you get a meaningful market? You know, what's the customer acquisition strategy, or the, you know, the brand awareness strategy? And I think that, that, you know, you mentioned Century 21, you know, having this sort of global brand experience. I mean, getting that today or the next 5 years, I think, is a different deal. So those are the things I've been thinking about.